is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, it is. Lightning round. Let's get to it. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. We get to your calls in very short order, and we get as many as we can in before the bottom of the hour. It's Knicks basketball, Knicks pregame, Knicks and the Sixers down in Philadelphia. No Joel Embiid, so maybe a chance for the Knicks to get a good one tonight. Hit us up on Twitter, at Chris Carlin, and of course on Instagram, it is That Guy Carlin. The Giants finally get a deal done with Leonard Williams. Woo! We did it. It only took, a year and a half. I understand that it was a complicated process. I understand that it was. I didn't say I understood why it was. Now look, they obviously didn't want to pay Leonard Williams until they saw what he would really be able to do in the grander scheme, and he did that this past season. I just can't for the life of me figure out why in the middle of free agency this is getting done. Why wasn't this done 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago? Frankly, it makes absolutely no sense that it wasn't, and I almost feel like, I don't want to say it put them behind the eight ball, but for that to be the bigger news today, in addition to signing a 38-year-old running back, and I'm being facetious when I say 38, and John Ross, who was a complete draft bust at wide receiver, I was actually earlier in the day thinking, well, maybe, just maybe, they hadn't gotten a deal done quite ironed out yet with Leonard Williams, and because Kenny Golladay hadn't signed anywhere yet or hadn't agreed to terms, at least publicly anywhere yet, they were waiting for that to get ironed out before they finally got that done and they had some sort of head nod agreement with Kenny Golladay. Well, if they do, we don't know it yet. That doesn't seem like it's getting done right now. And John Ross may be a nice reclamation project, but it's amazing that you think about where they are in the grand scheme, how bad the cap situation has had to be, that it took this long to get the deal done, and finally you create a little bit of space, and any pass rusher you might have wanted to get is gone. And I'll take this back if they get Golladay. I hope they do, because I think Golladay would be fantastic here. But any big-time pass rusher they may have had their eyes on, anybody else who could really help if they had enough room to make for him is pretty much off the board, except for Golladay. Hopefully that gets done. But it's mind-boggling, isn't it, when you have a Giants team this past season that went 6-10, and you have the amount of cap problems that you do. And yet you see where the New England Patriots are and everything they did, and they still have $30 million in cap room left. How is that possible exactly? Yeah, the Pats had a bad season. Tom Brady was gone. He never took the full allotment as it was anyway. But the Pats, they have drafted so poorly that they had to go this way. And they have positioned themselves, despite finishing a game better than the Giants, with a ton more cap room to work with. And by all accounts, haven't really destroyed themselves for the next 5 years. It's a lot of upfront money. It's a way to position themselves so that they could make more deals. And they still have, according to overthecap.com, $30 million. And it really just get your ire even more up that you weren't able to get this done sooner and you weren't able to create more room and just position yourself better. And then Connor Hughes had an interesting tidbit today from The Athletic talking about the Jets and Sam Darnold and Dave Gettleman and the draft of 2018. So apparently, Gettleman was just so locked in on Saquon Barkley, as we all knew, that they were not going to move. And Maccagnan was very concerned day of the draft that he was going to have a problem on his hands. Because that was the day, if you'll remember, that it started to turn that Cleveland was going to take Baker Mayfield. They had assumed, a lot of people had, that Cleveland was going to take Sam Darnold. And then that shifted to Mayfield day of the draft. So that meant the Giants were at two. Well, according to the story, and Connor Hughes said he talked to Maccagnan about this, he was very concerned that somebody was going to trade up to number two, specifically the Denver Broncos, because apparently Elway absolutely loved Sam Darnold. Though used the word obsessed in describing it. So they were worried that on the day of the draft, that the Denver Broncos were so desperate to move up to number two, but he trusted it. He trusted what he believed to be the case with the Giants signaling they were taking Saquon Barkley and not backing off of it. And as Dave said, you know, got some calls for the pick for a bag of donuts, as he put it, but didn't even pick up the phone, didn't even accept calls leading up to the pick. And the phone apparently rang. Now, we don't know for sure that Denver called, but if Denver called trying to get to number two and the Giants could have loaded up on picks and instead they took Barkley, it's yet another indictment of this just absolutely brutal era so far. And yet here we are, still very much square in the middle of the Dave Gettleman era. And things don't seem to be getting any better. I'm waiting. I'm clicking refresh. I got alerts on Schefter on my phone. I got alerts on, you know, all the NFL Network guys, Garofolo, all the ESPN folks, Diana Rossini. I got them all. The phone's going off, buzzing every 10 seconds. Waiting. Just waiting for the news that the Giants have done something else or the Jets have done something else. By the way, they just signed a special teamer and backup quarterback, cornerback, Justin Hardy. Okay, great. Depth. Okay, fine. Special teamer. Got it. Just a little bit more help here. And I get it. Championships are not won in free agency. Where are they getting better immediately? Where is that happening? Anthony in the Bronx. Let's get right to it on the phones at 800-919-3776. Tony, how you doing, bud?
Not good.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Actually, I'm doing bad. As okay. a Giants fan, this is a complete joke. I mean, we had Leonard Williams. We traded, if I remember right, and my mind is usually good, a third and a fifth for this guy. The Jets picked up two out of the $6 million off his salary. So we had him for a third, a fifth, and we were on the hook for $4 million. We could have signed him immediately. This guy was coming off a half a sack season. He would have probably taken a bag of donuts and a ham and cheese sandwich if we would have been able to sign him for a long-term deal. And now we just backed
Could they have gotten a better deal? Maybe. But I have a feeling, you know, Williams still has a fight with the league and the Giants over being designated as a defensive tackle. Still feels like they owe him $1 million or $2, by the way, from last year when he was franchised. Maybe they could have gotten a better deal. This deal in particular, after 11 and a half sacks, Tony, this should have been done weeks ago.
He just basically, him and his agent, who I don't know who is, but should get some type of award, they just held Gettleman's feet to the fire and completely manhandled him in this deal. It's embarrassing. The owner of the Giants should fire him.
Did you want to let him go, though? Did you want Leonard Williams to go?
Yes. We could have gotten somebody in the draft.
I pass on that one, Anthony. Year. Thanks for the call. He had 11 and a half sacks. The guy proved himself this season, and they got him on a deal that is a little bit more cap-friendly. It goes from $19 million against the cap to I believe it's around 11 this year. So it created some space for this year, but you weren't letting him go. Not after the season. He had 11 and a half sacks. The guy was brilliant. He came into his own. You weren't letting him go. Matt in Beacon is next quickly. Matt, what's going on, bud?
Carlin.
Matt.
Listen, I am very confused why Gettleman still has a job. I mean, I'm a Jets fan, but I feel bad for the Giants fans because I heard a quote, it might have even been you earlier today, but that Gettleman doesn't believe in restructuring contracts when it's 2021 and everybody's doing that because of the cap going down and it's going to go up next year. So why wouldn't you restructure these guys' contracts to get a few more people in? And then, like, he needs to be fired. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I'll give you an example. The Zeitler thing. You know, Kevin Zeitler was going to save them $12 million against the cap when they cut him, but they also could have restructured and saved almost as much and kept him, but they decided to let him go, and the guy went out and got a three-year deal and like $28 million guaranteed immediately at an area of need. If you had restructured him and spread it out, you still could have saved a decent amount of money, but no, you cut him altogether, and instead you lose a player that, frankly, you need. You absolutely need. It's mind-boggling. More on the Giants, and where are we exactly with the Jets? And why today was, even though this isn't about not signing players, why today may have been a particularly bad day for the Jets. I want to correct one thing. I was wrong about one thing, and I apologize. The Zeitler situation, yes, they still needed to keep him, but they couldn't restructure last year of his deal. So they were either going to cut him to try to save that money, or they were going to have to figure out another way. Now, that's what I would have done personally. There were other guys to restructure to try to save that money because you still needed Kevin Zeitler at that position on the team. But they could not have restructured him. My mistake on that, because he was on the last year of his contract. Jeremy pointed that out on Twitter. I checked it. He's 100% right. 800-919-3776. You know, the Jets' quarterback situation with Sam Darnold, as far as trading him, I wonder with the Bears going out and bringing in Andy Dalton and Tyrod Taylor going to the Texans, I wonder if the landing spots for Sam are starting to dry up a little bit. You've still got San Francisco. They have not given any indication what they're doing with Jimmy G as of yet, but it doesn't seem as if they're in a hurry to trade him away. And you would think that one of the places they'd be looking to trade him would have been New England, and they obviously brought Cam Newton back. I tell you what, I'm getting a little bit worried if the plan was to try to trade Sam, that maybe some possible landing spots are drying up, but there is also the possibility that maybe Denver does get involved on it. Maybe they do, because I didn't see a whole lot from Drew Locke to make me think he's the answer long-term. Did you? I didn't think so. Mel in Jersey, next, 98.7 ESPN. Mel, what's up?
What's up, Carlin? Love you, my guy. So I've been listening to you for a while, you know, and I give you credit because you're the first one who I heard really bring up the Sam Darnold question for his third year and whatnot. And I didn't give you enough time on the radio tonight. I thought you was going to bring up your next point. And listening to the Michael Kay show, you know, before, Michael Kay, he agreed with everything I said to you earlier today, you know, about the Nets and their weaknesses and whatnot that you believe that they have, that they're not there. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to try to get ahead of you before you got this, you know, you talked about their weaknesses and all
no,
the flaws no, that they
no,
might have.
No, no, Mel, thanks for the call. No. I still believe that the Nets have a major defensive issue. Lonnie in Long Island next, 98.7 ESPN. Lonnie, what's going on?
Call in, my man. How are you?
I'm good, Lonnie. What's up?
Well, I'll feel much better when the Jets make a move on what they're going to do at quarterback. I mean, Houston, I mean, Watson is not going to play for them. So they should get what they could get right now and stop wasting time because the guy's not going to play for them. He'll sit out the year. So why would you waste that time and not have a quarterback playing for you when you could go out and get somebody and get some draft picks and stuff?
I think the problem here is that Houston is trying to hold on and get every last bit of an offer as they can for him, and they keep insisting that they're not trading him. They're trying to call his bluff, and that's a mistake on their part. I absolutely believe 100% he's not playing another down for him, and the two teams that are best positioned to get him are the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets.
Yep. Correct. So why don't we make a move? Come on, Carlin. Keep boosting it. I want to hear it.
Thanks for the call, Lonnie, and sit tight. I don't know that the Jets are going to make that move, but I do know this. Every day that the Texans wait to make a deal is another day that they're losing leverage in terms of trading him away. And also, don't forget this. Deshaun Watson is the guy that determines where he plays. He has the no-trade clause. He can say, I'm not going to the Jets. He may only want to go to Miami. He will determine what the team where he's going, what their leverage is in the trade. If you tell the Texans, I only want to go to the Jets, I only want to go to the Dolphins, you have basically neutered them in a deal. John in Brooklyn next, 98.7 ESPN. John.
Colin, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Johnny, Big John.
Man, I'm not doing so well, Colin, man. I just don't understand. I want to bring up one point and then ask you two questions real quick.
We're short on time.
So the Giants, right? You have no cap room with a quarterback on a rookie contract and no superstars on the team. And my two questions are, I don't understand why on the offensive side of the football you're not doing anything. If Daniel Jones is your future, you have to give him something. Otherwise, he's going to wind up in the same situation as Sam Darnold. And my second question is, if we're short on cap room, why did they pay Logan Ryan in the offseason if you just drafted McKinney at the same position? Colin, I'll take it. I'll listen to you off the when I'm off the phone. Thanks, brother.
No problem. And the reason why they paid Logan Ryan is because Joe Judge wanted one of his guys on that defensive side to really get it set up. And frankly, they didn't see enough of McKinney at all last year to have a full-on answer on that situation. And Logan Ryan does a lot of different things for a team defensively. He helps them immensely. Now, as far as how they can be in this spot from a salary cap when you have no superstars, it's a great question. And I think when you just look at it, they've made some bad deals. And helping Daniel Jones out, I'll tell you one thing I heard today on the front of which receiver from Alabama would be better. If you're looking for an outside guy, it's Devontae Smith. If you're looking for a slot guy, it's Jalen Waddle. Devontae Smith would be a number one with the Giants.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.